think anybody can tell you when life begins. Human life begins.
We need a president who doesn't think that the protection of the unborn or a newly born baby is above his pay grade.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself. For this war is for the soul of America.
The pools of blood shed by modern atheism dwarf anything that religion can produce. And in fact, all the religions in the world put together haven't killed as many as atheist regimes have killed in about 10 years.
A little bit of open lines here at the beginning of the program this Monday, September the 8th. Sarah Palin is so much in the news. Questions about her family and whatnot. Now, and this is something that interests me, questions about her religious background. Barack Obama was vetted through the entire process of the nomination. And one of the big questions that was raised about him, some people thought it might have even diverted his campaign for a time, was statements about his previous pastor, Jeremiah Wright, at the church he attended in Chicago. And whether or not he believed what his pastor believed and whether or not he believed what that church believes, and Barack Obama's beliefs were much in question. Sarah Palin is, at least according to the news reports, attending a non-denominational kind of quasi-Pentecostal church now up until about 2002. It was an Assemblies of God church, also Pentecostal. Pentecostals have some interesting beliefs. And the question I have for you here in the first half hour of the program, and we'll listen to an NPR story on Governor Palin's Pentecostal background, also as time permits, on how working moms are reacting to the governor who is running for vice president in the Republican ticket. Question I have for you is, should this be a concern, and are you concerned at all about the Pentecostal background of Governor Sarah Palin? What if, like many Pentecostals, she speaks in tongues? What if she's a Christian Zionist? Should we look into the statements of her pastor or pastors, as the case may be? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. That's our in-studio email address. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. is coming to you live this Monday, September the 8th. For the next 2 hours, we'll be with you. Open lines to begin with, then Dr. Martin Noland joins us at the bottom of the hour. We'll be talking with him about the influence of a radical reformer named Andreas Karlstadt, one of Luther's erstwhile professors, teachers, friends, colleagues, and then they became, I don't know if you'd call them rivals, they definitely were at cross purposes in the Reformation. We'll find out how much Karlstadt has influenced Lutheranism today. In fact, if you walked into a lot of Lutheran churches, you would think that they're not Lutheran, but in fact, Karlstadtian churches. We'll talk about that. Then in the second hour of the program, we'll start that second hour, a brief conversation with Scott Klusendorf, 10 minutes with him talking about abortion statements made yesterday by Senator Barack Obama on ABC's This Week. He tried to extricate himself from the "it's above my pay grade" statement and may have dug himself in a little deeper. And then after that conversation with Scott Klusendorf, Pastor Peter Bender begins a weekly series with us here at Issues Etc., the beginning of this four-part weekly series on the Apostles' Creed. Today, we'll begin where the Creed begins, God the Father. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. So I want to know from you whether or not the Pentecostal background of Sarah Palin is of any concern to you. Pentecostals generally believe in kind of a free move, new move of the Holy Spirit, private revelation. Some speak in tongues. Christian Zionism has a strong foothold in Pentecostalism in America. And with all those questions swirling around in your head, entertain this one as well. Just as Barack Obama's previous pastor's statements were up for scrutiny earlier in the race, should statements made by Governor Palin's pastor be reviewed and examined? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. National Public Radio has a story about Governor Palin and her Pentecostal background. Now she's attending a non-denominational church. She's a busy woman, so sometimes politicians bounce around churches, but up until 2002, she was at an Assemblies of God church. Let's hear the story.
Many religious conservatives see Sarah Palin as one of their own. Her evangelical credentials have helped them get behind John McCain's bid for the presidency. Palin's background is in the Pentecostal church. And as NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, what Palin has revealed about her religious beliefs offers a glimpse of her worldview.
On June 8, Alaska's governor dropped in on Wasilla Assembly of God, a Pentecostal church she and her family attended until 2002. During the service, she addressed a group of young missionaries, and at the end, she said she had a word from the Lord for them. She prayed that Jesus would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
And that spirit of revelation also, including that spirit of prophecy, that God's going to tell you what is going on and what is going to go on. And you guys are going to have that within you, and it's just going to bubble up and bubble over, and it's going to pour out throughout the state of Alaska.
When I listened to the tape, it seemed to me like she's the real McCoy.
That's Margaret Paloma at the University of Akron, who's written several books on Pentecostalism and is Pentecostal herself. She says the words in Palin's prayer, divine revelation, prophecy, and outpouring of the Holy Spirit are hallmarks of this brand of Christianity. Palin now goes to a non-denominational Bible church when she's in Wasilla, but her years attending Pentecostal churches, including the one she currently attends in Juneau, have no doubt shaped her faith and possibly her view of world events. For example, here's Palin speaking of the war in Iraq.
Pray for our military men and women who are striving to do what is right also for this country, that our leaders, our national leaders, are sending them out on a task that is from God. That's what we have to make sure that we're praying for, that there is a plan and that plan is God's plan.
Some people would hear that and go, she thinks this is a holy war, or Pentecostals think this is a holy war. Is that fair to say?
I would think it's fair to say, yes.
One reason, Margaret Paloma says, is that many Pentecostals believe that Islam is a false religion.
Many times you hear it referred to as a kind of diabolical religion, and that comes in from their idea of Christianity being the true religion, but also their support for Israel, because they contend that Israel is God's chosen people and you dare not touch them.
All right, we're listening to a National Public Radio story on Governor Sarah Palin and her Pentecostal background and her religious beliefs and statements that she's made recently at a former church she used to attend, an Assemblies of God church. So are you concerned at all that Sarah Palin may share with her fellow Pentecostals a Christian Zionist bent on history and on today's headlines? A belief that Israel, the nation state of Israel, as it exists in the world today, is in fact the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, has most favored nation status with God, is untouchable as far as God is concerned. Does that concern you? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us live this Monday, September the 8th, right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We heard a little bit in that story, and we'll get back to it in a moment. Sarah Palin talking about, what does it say here, a spirit of prophecy, a spirit of revelation. Common phrases among Pentecostals. They believe that they receive direct and personal revelation from God Himself. Direct, personal, private revelation from God Himself. Does that concern you if this woman is perhaps vice president? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org.
Paloma says this points to a central belief that there is a cosmic battle between the forces of good and evil. It was language Palin used when accepting the nomination on Wednesday night when she spoke of the war on terrorism. And it was language used by Palin's current pastor, Mike Rose, at Juneau Christian Center.
Have you ever felt that way about the devil, the ultimate terrorist? Like, you know, I'm just really tired of this spiritual warfare. I'm done with it. Well, you know what? He never quits. So whether you and I like it or not, we are going to be in spiritual warfare.
Pentecostals believe God routinely intervenes in human affairs. Sarah Palin sounded like a Pentecostal when she asked people at Wasilla Assembly of God to pray about building a gas pipeline through Alaska.
I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Daryl Bach, a New Testament scholar at Dallas Theological Seminary, says some Pentecostals hold to their convictions in the face of opposition because they believe that they are in tune with the will of God.
What faith does in this case is to fuel a sense of mission and direction. It can also produce a little bit of element of certainty about that direction.
But Bach warns against drawing conclusions about anyone's policies from his or her faith.
Trying to figure out what the link is between a person's faith and their politics is very, very difficult business because there is so much pragmatically and ideologically that's also driving what's going on. There's not just the faith element.
Bach says President Bush and Democratic nominee Barack Obama have already been through this sort of spiritual vetting. Now it's Sarah Palin's turn. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
Okay, my question for you then during this audio open line segment of Issues, Etc. Does Governor Palin's Pentecostal upbringing, all of the beliefs that may go along with it, concern you? Call during this break and email us as well, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Paul Ryman, Pastor Ronnie Koch, Pastor E.J. Temple, Sandra Lingard, Don Mueller, Eli Davis, Sherry Fowler, Christian Tius, Donna Munden, and Lisa Kress. Thanks for your support.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California, Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes of audio open lines. The question I've laid on the table for you, are you concerned about Sarah Palin's Pentecostal background? Not all Pentecostals, but many of them hold some interesting beliefs that may bear upon how one would conduct themselves in office, especially as Vice President of the United States. A belief in private revelations, personal private revelations from God. There's a lot of Pentecostalists that hold to a Christian Zionist view of history and of the world and of the present day events. We heard a little bit in that NPR piece from her pastor talking about spiritual warfare. Barack Obama's pastor made statements in the past that were key in many people's evaluation of Barack Obama as a candidate. What about Sarah Palin's pastor, her non-denominational pastor? His statements, should they be examined as well? 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. What if she speaks in tongues? A lot of Pentecostals do. I don't know if we've ever had a tongue-speaking president or vice president before. Coming up a little bit later in the program, about 10 minutes from now, Dr. Martin Nolan joins us. We're going to talk about the increasing influence, although many people don't recognize it, of radical reformer Andreas Karlstadt on the Reformation, especially in the 21st century. He was one of those guys who followed after Luther, or at least in Luther's absence, decided to take the Reformation off in a radical direction. Scott Klusendorf will join us in the second hour. We'll talk about some abortion statements made yesterday by Senator Barack Obama on ABC's This Week. See if he's either getting himself out of that hole that he dug when he made the above my pay grade statement or digging himself deeper. And then Pastor Peter begins a four-part weekly series with us a little later in the program on the Apostles' Creed today, God the Father. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Jason in Cedar Park, Texas writes us. He says, I have known some Pentecostals who actually are Christian despite all the baggage brought in by the emphasis on emotionalism and spiritual gifts. Regardless of their faith, God can work through her for our benefit, regardless of her faith. Great to have you back. Thank you very much, Jason. Well, my question isn't so much whether or not God can work through her. God can work through anyone, even unbelievers. He uses unbelievers in directing the course of human events. The question is it concerning to you that she may hold some of those beliefs common to Pentecostals, private revelation, Christian Zionism? We know at least she holds to the private revelation thing because we have statements to that effect. But what about Christian Zionism of speaking in tongues? And should we examine the statements of her present pastor? 1-877-623-MY-IE, talk back at issuesetc.org. I mean, this is going to be the shape of things to come. There were many evangelicals who were concerned that we didn't have enough talk about God in politics, not enough speaking of faith from our politicians, and now that they are, this comes along with it. An examination of what their pastors teach, what their pastors have said, what they may have heard preached in a sermon, do they believe this too? What their fellow believers believe and whether or not they believe those things as well? If Governor Sarah Palin's faith doesn't concern you, what about the fact that she's a working mom, a mother with a lot of kids and a newborn at home? Here's the story on that from National Public Radio.
The nomination of Sarah Palin as the Republican candidate for vice president has sparked a different kind of conversation about women in the workplace. National polls show the Alaska governor is very popular, but since she joined the GOP ticket, Palin has fueled a debate among women about working mothers. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
Reaction to Palin's candidacy basically falls in two camps. There's the you go girl and the how could you? And that question is coming from mothers across the political spectrum.
It's selfish on her part. Her kids need it. She has got a baby in diapers. I mean, she should be concerned about being there to put her kids to bed every night.
49-year-old Maria Martinangelo is a single mom who's always worked in a liberal-leaning suburb west of Boston. She says she's all for a woman in the White House, just not a woman who's got five kids, including a newborn with Down syndrome and a teenager about to have a baby herself.
Your children sacrifice for that. You know, daycare or somebody else is raising your kids. I may be politically incorrect in saying so, but it's how I feel.
For sure, some of the more bitter barbs against Palin are politically motivated, but even some social conservatives who are with Palin on the issues are expressing qualms about her running.
I think that's crazy.
48-year-old Maureen Zeff, a stay-at-home mother of three from Stratham, New Hampshire, says she was leaning Republican until Palin joined the ticket.
I think she's overambitious and her heart isn't in the right place. I hate to be judgmental that way, but my values are my children come first.
Oh my God, we're like in the dark ages. This is not up to us to decide how she runs her family.
45-year-old Michelle Collins doesn't agree with Palin on the issues, but she says she's appalled that anyone would even question whether it's proper for Palin to run.
I think it's outrageous for somebody to make the assumption that a woman can't do a job because she has children. How about hiring somebody? How about her husband or boyfriend? Or how about somebody else taking some of the slack up?
I can't help but wish we were beyond these debates, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out we haven't made enough progress yet.
Massachusetts former acting governor Jane Swift knows it all too well. She ran for lieutenant governor pregnant with her first baby and was acting governor when she delivered twins. She, too, was mocked and condemned for trying to pull off the breast pump BlackBerry Balancing Act. She eventually dropped out of politics. As she explained at the time, something has to give. But Swift says that's a decision that every parent has to make for her or himself.
I do recognize that how I choose to spend my time has an impact on my family. And so those are personal choices. But what I reject is when women are forced to justify those choices in ways that guys aren't.
We're listening to a National Public Radio story on Governor Palin and working moms. It's interesting to hear the different reactions, isn't it? From a liberal woman who says, who's to question what she's doing with her life and her family and her career? Or more conservative moms saying she really should be staying home with those kids. Does Governor Palin's working mom status concern you? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines on this Monday, September the 8th. Talk back at issuesetc.org, 1-877-623-MYIE. Another question I have on the table, what about Sarah Palin's Pentecostal upbringing and background? Will this impact how you vote? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Indeed, no one's questioning whether Barack Obama can still be a good father to his two young kids. Susan Reverby is a professor of women's studies at Wellesley College.
I see it as unfinished women's movement business, that there is a deep-seated still belief that somehow what women give is different than what men can make available. And therefore, when men are at work, they are not required in some deep psychological way to think about their children in quite the same way as women are.
A study by the Pew Research Center shows Americans still disapprove of working moms by a 2-to-1 margin, and the numbers haven't really budged in the past 10 years. Some say that's partly because moms themselves tend to really dig their heels in once they take sides in the so-called mommy war.
I mean, it's a game face is what it is. It's like, oh yeah, got it covered, you bet, you bet.
Michelle Lamar hosts a blog about working moms. She says another reason the question of work-family balance continues to rage is because right now,
there is no good answer at all. And whatever you do, there are consequences, there is fallout.
Many moms hope it'll be one good thing that comes from the debate swirling around Sarah Palin. If it helps change policies around flex time, paid sick days, and maternity leave, they say, what Sarah Palin is doing might raise fewer eyebrows in the future. Tovia Smith, NPR News.
See, I actually do believe that there's a substantive difference between what a father does and what a mother does. That there's a real difference between the relationship a father has with his kids and the relationship a mother has with her kids. They're not interchangeable. There's no such thing as a generic parent. There are mothers, there are fathers. Ask anyone who's lost one or the other. One can't do double duty. Most single moms will tell you they can't do double duty. They're mom, they always will be, they can't be dad. Is it a double standard or a difference that we live with? A lot of it depends on how well she's able to pull it off. You know, feminism has told women that they can do it all and have it all. And Sarah Palin is biting off an awful lot. I'm not passing any judgments on her. I'm just saying running for vice president of the United States is a pretty big project. Does it concern you at all that she's doing it with not only kids at home, son going off to war, 17-year-old daughter about to have a baby out of wedlock, and a baby in diapers with Down syndrome? I mean, talk about having it all or doing it all. Mark in Starkville, Mississippi says, I've been disappointed to see how quickly so-called Christian conservatives have placarded the order of creation and male-female roles, have backpedaled and requalified their earlier positions as opposed to the liberal feminists. I thought that the Christian position was that those who promote systematic violation of the order of creation and God-ordained male-female roles were liberal feminists. I guess the masses are really Republicans first Christians. Second, very interesting thought, Mark. Thanks for listening in Mississippi. When we come back, the influence, the unacknowledged influence of the Radical Reformation in Lutheranism today.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues, Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues, Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues, Etc. bumper or window sticker.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Judith Bascom, Bran Lindvall, F. Bradford Townley, Chris Hodenfield, Darren Goodweiler, Carrie Goodweiler, Polly Eakin, Brad Eakin, Ross Betts, and Rick Needswiki. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've been a fan of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin long before she was thrust into the national spotlight. Her decision to welcome a child with Down syndrome demonstrated she's truly pro-life, using his birth to make a strong pro-life statement and profession of their faith. The media has put the governor's personal life under a microscope, as we've seen with tons of attention given to her daughter's pregnancy. Again, the Palin family has lived up to their professed belief all innocent human life is sacred. Governor Palin's daughter, Bristol, has taken responsibility for her actions. She's given her baby life and marrying the father with the full support of her family. Please keep this young couple in your prayers. It's going to be extra hard with all the publicity following them.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.